In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It seems like far too often I have had to stand up here and speak after its place of worship. And yet, here we are again today. And so I turn to Scripture, and I find something edifying in it, and I hope that you will as well. I'd like for us to actually look at the gospel lesson we have today, the story of the healing of blind Bartimaeus. If you need a visual aid, there's a big picture on the back. So let's take a look at this a little more in depth. This is going to be a glorified Bible study, and we're going to go from there. Jesus and his disciples come to Jericho, and Jericho is about 17 miles from Jerusalem. And Jesus and his disciples and this large crowd were getting ready to leave, and they pass by this guy, blind beggar by the name of Bartimaeus. Now this is really interesting, because out of all the healings that Jesus performs, in all four Gospels, how many times do we know the name of the individual that was healed? How many times? One. This is it. This is the only time we actually learn the name of the person Jesus healed. Now, there are certain instances where we're like one person removed, like Jesus heals Jairus' daughter, as an example, but we don't know her name. We only know the name of this guy. And this guy's name makes no sense. Bartimaeus. That's Hebrew, and it's Greek. Bar means son of, so anytime you read in the Bible, bar whatever, son of is what they're going by. But Timaeus is Greek. It's an amalgamated name. And then, if you read it in some translations there, they put a comma in where it says Bartimaeus, comma, son of Timaeus. Well, they just said the same thing twice. They're emphasizing, for some reason, this guy's name. And I have reason to believe this guy's name was not really Bartimaeus. We'll get to that in a minute. This blind guy shouts out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." You know how many times Jesus is referred to as the Son of David in all four Gospels? 17. This is the only time in the Gospel of Mark. Where are they leaving from Jericho? In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus and the disciples leave Jericho and they're headed straight to Jerusalem. Jesus is referred to in this messianic tone in the Gospel of Mark immediately before he is in Jerusalem prior to his crucifixion. And I have to say, one of the most edifying lines of the Bible comes immediately after this. Many people ordered this guy to be quiet. "You're blind, you did something wrong," which was the common understanding of why you had a physical ailment. "You did something wrong, this is your fault, don't bother Jesus." But Jesus hears him. Jesus hears him. And he said, "Call him here." And the people following Jesus come to Bartimaeus, this man sitting by the road, in the dust, forgotten, hungry, lonely, ostracized by society, and they say to him, "Take heart, get up, he is called." Now, of course, Jesus heals the guy, right? This really wouldn't be much of a story if Jesus didn't heal Bartimaeus, right? It would be kind of like disappointing. You know, Jesus is the hero here. Jesus is obviously going to heal the guy. But he does something very unusual. Not only does he have an unusual name, not only do we have a name for someone Jesus healed in the gospel lessons, he does something that virtually no one else in the Bible does after a healing. There are a couple of instances where it's sort of implied, but it's never explicit. He regained his sight, and he what? Followed him. A lot of people that Jesus heals, it appears, said, "Woohoo!" And they left. They got what they wanted from Jesus and they left. Bartimaeus doesn't do that. Bartimaeus threw off his cloak, which quite frankly was probably his only possession. He was a blind beggar. He didn't have anything else. He threw that off, left the worldly possessions, was healed by Jesus and followed him on his way. Striking. That's interesting. I want to go back to Bartimaeus, the name. How many of you have ever read Plato? I know, it's like reading in the evenings, right? Okay. One of Plato's most famous works, Timaeus. Plato wrote in these sort of dialogues, so he would create characters who would have a conversation, and in these conversations, he would expound some sort of idea or philosophy. And Timaeus, in his work, which is largely considered his greatest work, Timaeus is talking, and he's talking with Socrates, and he's talking with a few other philosophers, and Timaeus expounds this idea of where the world came from, the creation of the universe, the creation of the soul, why it is that we are who we are. This would have been predominant Greek thought in the world at the time. This would have been written about 300 years before the time of Jesus, but everybody would have read this. Any educated person in the Roman Empire would have read Timaeus by Plato. Okay, naming someone Timaeus in the Bible that people knew were going to be read by intellectual individuals is like naming your child Harry Potter. Okay, everybody read it. Everybody knew it. People would have picked up on the name. And what is it that Timaeus says is the foundation of knowledge? Sight. In Plato's Timaeus, sight is the foundation of knowledge. The guy who wrote Mark was pretty smart, okay? He knew what he was doing. He knew what he was saying. He knew what he was doing. People would have understood this story. This man, blind, received sight by Jesus and followed him. This man received wisdom through Jesus. I think that's an important lesson for us, especially in the world that we live in. We can receive wisdom through Jesus. We listen to what it is that he actually tried to teach us and tell us and show us. To love unconditionally, to respect others, but we often don't do that. It's a human failing. And oftentimes, when we are left in this world, we think, what are we going to do? Whenever somebody comes in and shoots up a synagogue, whenever these pipe bombs go through the mail, whenever we have bizarre things that are going on in the world around us, I believe we can take heart in another note from this lesson. Take heart. Get up. He is calling you. I believe that Jesus is calling us through the centuries to this very day to take heart, to live as people who are loved, who love, can be an example to a broken and hurting world. When it seems like where there's nothing in the news but despair, take heart, Jesus is calling us. When it seems like our lives are falling apart, take heart, Jesus is calling us. When it seems like nothing can possibly go right, my brothers and sisters, take heart, because Jesus is calling us. He's calling you. He's calling me. He's calling us to preach to the world, to be an example to the world. Because God knows we can use some good examples, especially on the 6 o'clock news. Because as somebody pointed out this morning, they ain't posting how many people were in Sunday school today. My brothers and sisters, Jesus is calling us, each and every one of us, to lead lives that are true examples of Christ's love. We're never going to get it perfectly. but we can try. And the more that we try, I think the closer we get to that wisdom God wants us to be aware of, to be revealed to us. That hate will destroy us. That love will cure us. My brothers and sisters, let us love, because the world sees too much hate already. Amen.